they'll take turns talking about it.
Okay, step 10. Step 10 reads, continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admitted it. And the first paragraph is from page 84. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code.
Thanks, Brad. And thank you all for being here tonight. My name is Grant. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Grant.
My sobriety date is March 19, 2010. I have a sponsor. I've worked with different sponsors over the years. And what I've always done with any sponsor that I've worked with is learn about this book. It was taught to me early on that this is a basic text, meaning it's the basis of our program, Alcoholics Anonymous. That way we get out from under that hopeless condition of mind and body. And it's also the basic textbook, meaning it's something that's meant to be studied and gone over. So you'll notice both of us up here have a kind of different versions of the book. They're meant for writing a lot of notes in. And I'll try not to get too deep into the notes because it's a lot of the mechanics of Alcoholics Anonymous. But I'm going to start by saying that when I first experienced this step, I thought it was something like, oh, well, I'll just use it when I need it. I was never very vigorous at anything I've ever done, except for getting into trouble. Alcohol consumption was one of those things. Inappropriate relationships was another. And then just generally lying and cheating and stealing from people, by and large, was one of my favorite things to do a lot of, vigorously, but not develop character. And I was taught that this step is one of the biggest steps in terms of developing character, because we go through 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, those wonderful steps that are a gateway to building a new character and a new way of living. But this step is talking about doing this continuously for the rest of my life. One of the things I didn't like when I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I heard someone say, well, you're going to do this for the rest of your life. And I was like, I don't know if I can do anything that long. I can't even keep relationships for more than a couple weeks at a time. You know, I can't do much of anything on a continuous basis. At the time I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, the longest I held down a job was like 2 or 3 years continuously. The longest I had a relationship was about 6 months continuously. And you guys are telling me I got to do this for the rest of my life. So I need some guidance on that. This step does that. I've heard people talk about 10, 11, and 12 as the maintenance steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I believe very much so that they're the growth steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. These are steps meant to continue to grow in this way. Because if it's maintenance, it means that I reach a point that I'm done. Like I got it all figured out and I'm done, and I just got to stay right there. And what I've found through my experience in Alcoholics Anonymous is that there are certain low spots ahead. There's many people in here who know that I'm currently going through a divorce, and that hit me out of left field, and I stayed sober through it. And the reason I stayed sober through it is I continued to seek God, do what this program says to do, and help others and grow in this way, right? And I'm going to share a couple things just based on what it says here. It talks about continue a couple times. And what is it saying to continue doing? What was done in 4 through 9? Watching for selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, fear. Those things that they just get me running the world into the ground because I start running things my way. I was taught recently that there's a column in the inventory that focuses on the things that I felt, right? The pride and the self-esteem and all those things that were affected by all the people in my life. And I was enlightened to the idea that those are all things I'm not trusting God with. And if I'm not trusting God with those, my default is to live in fear, is to be dishonest, is to do things my way, right? But if I can find a reason to trust God with all those things that I struggle with, the things that I feel less inclined to be doing well, then I'm just going to go back to these old behaviors. So to me, that's a description of what character development is all about, right? I got to change all the old behaviors and replace them with new behaviors. And Alcoholics Anonymous teaches me to do that. And this idea that there's a prayer in here that says, ask God at once to remove them, right? Ask Him for grace. Coming back to just, I can't do it and He can. Why don't I let Him? I'm being brought back to this very simple thing that was shown to me in the third step, that I'm not in charge anymore, right? And if I take my will back, as we say, and I start doing these things my way again, I start to find myself trapped in the bedevilments as outlined on page 52. And I start to go insane. I can tell you that I know that for certain because I did it today. I had to deal with some business dealings with the ex-wife and give her some information that she hadn't asked for before, but I was reluctant to give her because it has to do with financial security. And I started to get full of fear. I did what this book tells me to do. And I found, as I started, I didn't react to her, so I didn't have to make an amends, thankfully. I just did what she asked me to do. But I found at the end of it, when I started to talk to a man who's freshly out of treatment, still suffering in the way I was suffering when I came in Alcoholics Anonymous, that fear was gone. I didn't get rid of the fear. I stopped worrying about the fear. I prayed to God, and God took the fear away by putting somebody in my path that I could be helpful to. I've heard people talk about this as an inside job. My experience is it's not. This is a get rid of every idea you think you have about what you think is right and best way to deal with the world. Just get rid of it. Make yourself aware that there might be some power outside yourself and greater than yourself that can help you with all your problems and help others. And I get freedom from all of my own pain and suffering that I create through my poor behavior and reaction to the world and the people around me by helping others. So the change doesn't come from something I do to myself. It's something that happens as a result of reaching out and being useful to others. But I can't be useful to others until I trust God. That's been my experience. Last thing I'll say, and then Ebony can kill it, because I know she will, is my sponsor and I often debate about the idea that the 12 steps are the only principles here, and love and tolerance is what I've been taught is the principle of the step. It really comes down to mercy. Grace and mercy for me were explained to me at one point, not by anybody in Alcoholics Anonymous, but by outside people who have much stronger faith than I have, is grace is getting exactly what I need, and mercy is not getting exactly what I deserve. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Ebony. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Ebony.
I have not found it necessary to take a drink since November 13th, 2015. I have a sponsor, my sponsor has a sponsor, and I currently work with others, so that's all the way. With Step 10 pretty much goes against everything I thought when I walked in these doors. I thought I was coming into a room full of people, and I was going to stop drinking, and life was going to be good. You know, I see people in these rooms, they're laughing and they're smiling. Once I go through the steps, I'm done. Thank goodness I took the suggestion and I got a sponsor, and that bubble was burst quickly. So I'm going to try really hard not to repeat some of the things that Grant said and just add to it. When it talks about, for me, the fear and the resentment and just the selfishness and all of these things, I have to remember that just because I am sober and I've recovered does not mean I'm absolved from having fear in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I talk to newcomers and they think the same things I thought. If I stop drinking long enough, I won't be self-centered. I won't face fear. All of my troubles and all of my problems will go away. You know, we read How It Works and it says we are not saints. And I am far from a saint today, and I've worked the steps and I'm still working the steps. But what I do know now is that I've been given the tools to apply these things in my life. So when I do face these fears and these resentments, when I was in my cups, I did not know what a resentment was. It wasn't until I got sober that I realized what resentments are and how powerful they are. And honestly, the place I get the most resentments currently, besides my family, is my home group. Gotta love it. But I say all of this because, you know, these resentments pop up, but I have the tools to process them correctly. When these fears pop up in my life today, I was talking about this in the car ride, you know, and some people will disagree with me. That's fine with me. These are great discussions for sponsors and sponsees. You know, I do step 10 to the best of my ability throughout the day. I don't wait until nighttime to write down my 10th step. You know, there are things that I do and I know I'm wrong, because one of the gifts of working these steps is I am now connected to a power greater than myself. You know, I can feel right from wrong. I know when I've done something wrong, when I've said something wrong, when I've been manipulative, because I still do those things. And so for me to promptly admit it, you know, sometimes it's a quick text. Sometimes I call my sponsor. And it's always easy for me to do the 10th step on the big things of life. Those are the glaring things that come across when I'm really scared or when I've done something really, you know, self-centered that Ebony does. I know. And those are the things that I'm like, okay, I got a 10th step it. But it's the little things where I'm like, oh, okay, no, I don't really have to do it. I can just kind of process that by myself, you know. And that's my pride. That's my ego today. And I'm grateful that because I've been removed from that obsession to drink, and because, you know, sanity has returned, I can feel those things a little bit more. I can notice those things a little bit more. And because of that, I can process them. You know, this is not an overnight matter. This is something I have to continue to do for a lifetime. I've been told that I need to stay in today. 24 hours, that's all I've got. One of the first suggestions that I got that was really extremely helpful was I had to break down those 24 hours. I couldn't make it through the day. And once that obsession to drink had been removed, I could start focusing on some other behaviors that needed work. I could focus on some of these other defects that still pop up in my life. Now that I'm aware of them, I have to put the action into it. You know, I'm grateful that step 10 is in the chapter Into Action. You know, I hear all of these promises, and I've been taught that they're not promises, they're results. These are the things that will happen in my life if I take these steps. How do I take these steps? By actually putting in the action. You know, so a big issue that I face is fear. Fear pops up everywhere, and now I notice it. But what I've gotten out of this is when I do admit it to someone, when I bring it up, I have the perseverance and the courage to walk through it. You know, step 10 involves so many other tools that I've learned. I can acknowledge these things and I can find my part in what's going on from my fourth step. I can promptly admit it from my fifth step. I can promptly right my wrongs. I can make amends. All of that is the courage that I need to go through the day. That's the courage I need that when I fall, it's okay. When I stumble, if I don't drink and I'm rude to somebody, step 10 gives me that grace to make it better without having to pick up a drink. You know, and I'm grateful for this. And when these things crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. I did a lot of asking God at once to remove a lot of things in my life. But I'm a lazy alcoholic. The difference is now I know I have to put action. So I can ask God to remove things, but I have to put in the action to fix things, to make things better, to keep it from snowballing, because if I don't address it promptly, I might be rude to the next 18 people that come across my path. And I've been known to do that, you know. But I'm still working on it. I'm a work in progress, spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. Let's see, what else do I want to add? Asking someone for help. That's the story of my life currently. Before, I couldn't ask anybody for help, and who I can help out. This turning to help someone does not mean that I can only help somebody who is sick and suffering alcoholically. I can help anyone. I can practice these principles in all of my affairs, whether it be how can I be helpful to someone at work, how can I be helpful to someone at church, how can I be helpful out on the street. These principles need to go across, and I need to apply them in everything that I do. What, does it help me more if it's an alcoholic? Sometimes. Does it help me more when it's my family who I thought did not understand anything, and I want to preach to them these principles and what's wrong with them? I think it's just as rewarding if I can have a spiritual conversation and I can practice these principles with someone who's not an alcoholic. To me, that's a little bit more difficult. Now it's a little bit more difficult. This love and tolerance of others is our code. It reminds me that, you know, anything that the next person does to me, I've probably done it to someone else 10 times. And it helps me see myself in them. This is a sick person. Regardless of if they know it or not, that's none of my business. I need to treat people the way I've been treated. My sponsor told me that I love myself enough today to keep myself in check by using these principles. I didn't come in here loving myself. I thought I was the scum of the earth, the worst of the worst. But now I do have some sort of expectations of myself because I have hope. I can face these things, and when I stumble, and I keep saying this because I am a perfectionist by nature, but when I turn my will over to something greater than myself, I acknowledge that I'm a work in progress. And I'm okay being a work in progress today. So love and tolerance of others is our code because I see myself in them. And if I can see myself in other people, I can practice the same grace and mercy that I've been received. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. All right. The next reading is on page 84. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. This is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition.
So when we come to Alcoholics Anonymous, it's like if somebody brought a pie here tonight, cut it into 8 pieces. I gave Brad a piece, gave Ebony a piece. Maybe Harmony likes pie, so she comes and asks me for a slice. And then I set the pie aside. Well, it's not all gone, but it's not all there. That's how we come into Alcoholics Anonymous. We should throw the word sobriety around a lot. It was explained to me at one point that sobriety is not the not drinking alcohol. It's the result of sanity restored. This part of the promises of the 10th step says, by this time we've had sanity restored. I found that my experience is that I was pretty crazy in Alcoholics Anonymous, fighting and threatening and arguing with people in the early experience of not drinking. But that as I did these steps and I started to practice these principles in all my affairs, as Ebony pointed out, my sanity started to be restored. And no lie, I can easily go down the path of letting that sanity slip real fast. And I think that's why it's so important for this step to be practiced on a daily basis. Because my level of sanity is usually in some proportion to the level at which I'm not running things. Not running all the best plans and schemes at my job, not running the way I think my life or relationship should look, not telling people how to live. When I'm just trying to trust God and follow through with what God would have for me, His vision for me, right? Carry His vision into our day. When I can do that, I'm pretty sane. And I also find myself much less interested in telling people how to do things. I find myself much more receptive to what their idea is in any given moment because my sanity is restored. Because this process, this leveling of my pride, this getting rid of what I think is best for you, and turning and looking at the fact that probably I'm the messed up individual in this situation, and that God can restore my sanity and put me into a position to be helpful to you, usually finds me in a much, much simpler, serene, peaceful attitude. Right? It talks about we have a whole change in our attitude and outlook on life. That has happened for me today. When I first sat in these rooms, I was angry. I wanted to fight everybody, even the people, the lovely little ladies who would tell me how wonderful their day was and how sweet I must be and all these things. I wanted to fight them. I wanted to fight everybody. But that's gone today. It just said it in this step. Fighting anything and everything, including alcohol. And that's really what I needed, is to get sobriety, I needed the obsession to be removed. Not that I did something, that it had to be removed, it had to be stripped out of me. And my experience has been just that. I've even had a wonderful period in Alcoholics Anonymous, spending time not going to meetings, getting real crazy, trying to run my life, and seeing how that just ruined all kinds of relationships. And then walking back through the doors, asking for help again, being guided back through this process, having my sanity restored. So I've had the experience that there's nothing about this process that's permanent. The permanence of it comes through the continued action in it. You know? I think the one thing that used to always really irk me as it talks about this is a great miracle. And I used to, there's no miracles. I don't buy this miracle thing. And I used to hear this guy all the time. He's like, we're all miracles. And I'm like, I really hate you right now. But it is. It's miraculous. And what's miraculous is my attitude on life has changed. My way of approaching all the people of the world, all of God's children, has changed. And I don't have to drink today. I don't even have that I can't drink today attitude. I just don't have to drink today because it's been removed. I am neutral on the subject. And that is a position I have as a result of doing this work on a daily basis. Thanks.
Ebony Alcoholic.
Hey, Ebony.
So with this chapter, or this paragraph, the sanity thing was a big conversation between my sponsor and I because, you know, I know everything. So my sponsor she's been sober almost as long as I've been alive, she's wrong. And I say this because that was the attitude I came in here with. You know, I'm not insane, so why is sanity returning? Yeah, I read the steps off the wall, but that's not me. I say all of this because it's amazing how much I've grown and how much I've changed. And I acknowledge that, you know, I don't want to think it's self-centeredness, but I acknowledge that by working with someone to guide me through these steps and through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I have grown and I've come to realize I know nothing. So when it's talking about this sanity, and I don't want to say that I'm parroting, but I've been told that It's in regards to alcohol. Those things that the doctor's opinion tells me, I can't acknowledge the true from the false, the drinking obsessively and all of that stuff, that's all I knew prior to taking these steps. Part of me being recovered is the fact that I know I cannot drink with impunity. I know that once I start, I can't stop. I know that I can trick myself into drinking. I can use anything in the world to justify a drink. That's part of the sanity that I've gained back today, is that I can realize, oh, the fact that I can point out alcoholic thinking for myself, you know, because I point it out in other people quickly, but the fact that I can point it out in myself, that's part of the sanity that I've gained from working these steps. We're seldom interested in liquor. I love the fact that it says seldom, because sometimes I'm watching TV and I see a group of girlfriends going out for cocktails and they're talking, and I'll look and I'm like, man, that'd be nice. What if? And then quickly I'm like, Ebony, you are not who you think you are when you drink. You are not the nice person who's friendly and has rhythm. And no, you're the girl flipping tables and cursing everybody out and trying to fight, even though you don't believe in violence. That's who you are. That's part of the sanity that has returned. I remember who I am as an alcoholic. I remember what happens to me when I put that poison in my body. That's part of my sanity that's returned. But I'm happy to know that, okay, you know, I am an alcoholic, and alcohol sometimes does interest me. It doesn't mean that I want to take a drink. It doesn't mean, you know, I want to go out and try to sneak something here and there. It's, for me, it's just, you know, oh, that'd be cool. Too bad I can't do it. But today I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay when those thoughts come, because I don't hold on to them. When those thoughts come, I don't say, oh, and play with those thoughts. I know I can't play with things like that. Sanely and normally. Nothing about me is normal, is what I'm learning. It is. But I am a little bit more normal. And so when I think normal, I think, you know, my mom, who alcohol's passed around, and she's just like, no. And then there's Ebony pre-working the steps when alcohol's going around. I'm like, no, I can't drink. I'm an alcoholic. Why are you trying to kill me? It's poison. You know, that's not reacting sanely or normally. But that's how I was. I was so sensitive, and I was a big ball of nerves coming in, that if someone offered me a drink, they needed to know the bio, why I can't drink. They need to read page blah, blah, blah in the big book. If you don't have a copy, you can go to my home group. Like, that's the person I was. But now that I have these steps, part of that sanity has, apparently that's what normal people do. They just say, no. That's a complete sentence, and they're okay with that today, and I'm okay with that. So this attitude, given without effort on our part, you know, I put the action into the steps. I'm responsible for putting the action into the work that I do when I work the steps. My higher power is responsible for that change that overcomes me. You know, someone recently asked me a question that just pissed me off. They asked me, if you talk to a newcomer, could you promise them that if they took the suggestions, they would recover? And, you know, it's me. I'm just like, have you read the big book? Have you talked to your sponsor? All of these things. And the reason I bring this up is because my experience is, when I took these suggestions, when I put in the work, I did recover, period. I can't promise anybody anything. I can only share my experience, strength, and hope. I'm not here to give advice. I'm not here to, you know, make conjectures. I'm not here to spit theories. You can study the big book all you want. You can define words. You can read it in Spanish for all I care. But if when you walk out of this room, you're not living this thing, I don't want to hear you. I only want to hear experience. And that's, so because I know that's what I needed coming in, I try to be the person that I needed when I walked in and I was brand new. We're not fighting it, nor are we avoiding temptation. You know, there are days when I wake up and I am avoiding temptation, because I have the ability to know when I'm spiritually fit and when I'm not. You know, if I woke up and I've been crying all night because somebody said something stupid, and yes, because it's always the other person, not me. Promptly admitted I'm wrong. you know, but I know when I'm spiritually fit. So there are days when I do have to avoid temptation. But those days are few and far in between today. Sorry, I'm trying to make sure I'm not forgetting anything. Safe and protected. We have neither sworn it off. Mm-hmm. When I first came in, I was always thinking about, you know, I wasn't drinking, but I was always thinking about not drinking. And I heard a newcomer share that recently, and I was like, I totally remember that phase. My mind is obsessed with not drinking. I'm counting the days until I get my next chip. I'm counting the days until I can chair a meeting. I'm counting the days until I get to make coffee. Everything was, you know, I'm so obsessed with the alcohol, whether I'm drinking or not. These promises, these results seemed like a lie. These things did not seem achievable for me. I'm an alcoholic who came in here and my hands were shaking and I was spilling coffee. I'm an alcoholic who came in here and I was having withdrawal seizures and I blamed it on a Kindle. You know, that's how sick I was. So when someone told me, and I'm reading this stuff, I didn't think it was real. I give all of that background information not to classify myself as a real alcoholic, but to say that my experience has proven to me today that it works only if I take these simple actions. We neither cocky nor afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Spiritual condition and spiritual matters. The word spirituality, I assumed was church related. I assumed spiritual is religious, religious is spiritual. You guys can have your program. I want nothing to do with it. And then I found a woman who explained to me that spirituality is my individual connection with something greater than myself. And the steps before this step allowed me to form a relationship with that something greater than myself. And she has given me the power and the ability, as long as I stay connected and try to keep that channel that goes between her and I am in that position of neutrality. I'm not obsessed. That obsession has been removed. My brain is moving so fast right now. Slow down. Okay, go. you know, I say all this because that's my experience. And I believe my answer to that question is I can't guarantee anybody anything. I can't say someone will become recovered if they take the steps, but I can say my experience is once I put the actions in, I was a little bit better today. In fact, I was a whole lot better. I have been placed in a position of neutrality. I'm not obsessed with alcohol anymore today. There are days where it seems a little bit more appealing than others, but I'm okay with that. But it is because I took those actions. And it may work for someone else if they're willing to put in that work. The end.
Thank you. Nice. All right. Well, we're going to read the last paragraph tonight. It's on page 85. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We're not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve, contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are the thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will.
And since we have a little time, I'm actually going to read the next paragraph too. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. This is a little hard to do here. I'll move this. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action. I read that as well because I'm going to start the first part of the paragraph with the idea that I have to keep doing this. And if you want to know what resting on your laurels looks like, because I've experienced it, I'm not telling you this just because it's in the book, I've experienced it. It looks very much like the bedevilments on page 52. I keep coming back to that. It's actually a note in my book. If I feel crazy, or I don't feel connected, or I feel like this isn't working the way it's normally working, I go back to that page and I read it. Because it reminds me of really what I'm positioning myself to do in step two, right? Just become willing to seek God, right? So when I'm not willing to do that, I'm usually going crazy on this step, and it's usually a bunch of work that I haven't been doing for days, let alone hours. I like what Ebony said already about the idea that I do this all throughout my day. It's not just something I do at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day or whenever it feels convenient. I try to do it all throughout the day whenever things are happening. Almost like an equation of, there's a person in front of me. They need, want, or otherwise are engaging me in some kind of capacity. I react or respond to them, and then I review it. I go, was I fearful? Was I selfish? Was I dishonest? Was I self-seeking? Do I need to make amends to them right now because I just totally slapped them in the face emotionally or even physically? Right? Did I go completely crazy? Do I need to call a sponsor or some other person in the program who sponsors people, right? Like, not just just some random person in AA who can help me by talking to me, but they can actually redirect me to what the purpose of the action is here that we already talked about. And then can I be redirected to seek God, seek His aid, and then be useful to others, right? That's really what I've learned is I got to do that like on a constant basis all day long. And when I don't, I want to do what is more comfortable for me, which is rest on my laurels. And what does that look like? That looks like I've accomplished something sometime in the last day, week, month, or year, or years. I've done this before. I know all about it. I'm good. I'm just going to go with that experience. I don't want to have a new experience. And what I've learned is I need to continue to have new experiences. Because through those experiences, I grow some more. Because I don't know it all. That's the problem. I think I know it all, but I forget that I'm finite and God's infinite. And I get that order mixed up all the time. I want to think I'm infinite and God's finite. Like, God can only help me with certain things. I got to figure out. No, I get that order mixed up all the time. And this is reminding me not to do that, right? Because if I rest on my laurels, I'm just assuming that I was so great before that there's nothing new for me to learn or gain now out of anything life has to offer. We are not cured of alcoholism. I am not cured of alcoholism. I'm recovered from a seemingly hopeless condition of mind and body, and I've develop some sanity and some sobriety, but I am not cured from alcoholism. And the reason I know that is because I go out in the real world and I deal with real world people, and they are normal and I am not in all aspects of their life. It's like, you know, I've done this inventory and I've made some restitution for things I've done before, and there's all these things in my past that I've put in their proper place and I can turn and use them for good of other people. But if I do something wrong in that same vein and it comes forward today, normal people are going to be like, look, this is your pattern of behavior. You're crazy. Nobody should trust you because you are not trustworthy. Right? And I want to recoil from that. I want to get angry and infuriated at that person who just doesn't understand that I'm a better person today. But the thing is by normal people's standards, I don't meet up. I just don't. Why? I'm lazy. I'm selfish. I don't really want to do things the way normal people do. I really just want to have fun, ease, and comfort. And I don't want to put any work in. I always wanted to make a lot of money, but not do any work. Right? Like, that's the kind of person I am. That's kind of one of those many character defect type traits that I've learned about as an alcoholic that makes me different than normal people, right? So by no means am I cured of my alcoholism, but certainly I have a basis on which to live that I don't have to return to those old behaviors. I don't have to fall into those old patterns. And how do I not fall into those old patterns? Daily reprieve based on fit spiritual condition. It means I have to do it every day. I have to work at spiritual matters the way that an Olympic athlete works out. I don't want to do it, but I need to. I really don't like that idea. I'm usually not that motivated at anything in my life, but I need to. So every day I must carry the vision of God's will into all my activities. No, I want to go and do what makes me money. I want to go and do what makes me famous. I want to go and do what makes me feel good deep down inside. I want all the pleasure for me. This is saying I can't do that anymore. I didn't like that idea at first. I've really resisted it for a long time. But I had enough pain hanging around Alcoholics Anonymous that I became willing to do some of these things in regards to all activities in my life, not just alcohol. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These thoughts must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line. All we wish is a proper use of the will. I had this explained to me like this. We're born. We got free will, right? We start to exert self onto certain situations, and we develop a certain capacity to which self kind of works, and we become alcoholic, and then self-will runs riot. And then all there is self-will. There's no God involved in the free will anymore. Through this process of working these steps and having this change occur over time, I've developed a willpower that's guided by God's will for me rather than my self-will. No delusions here. It's not 100%. I'm not even certain that it's greater than 50% some days. But what I've learned is that when I wake up in the morning and I start to seek God right away and I start to trust God and I start to find that power outside of myself in a way that it can influence my decision making, what we talk about, it's really in step 11, we're going to hear about it next week, is if I can get to the point that I'm looking for inspiration and direction in all my affairs before I start to engage them, starting at the beginning of the day and then all throughout the day when I face indecision, then God is running my will. I'm not running the show anymore, right? And I'd like to tell you that that's just something like, if you know it, it just happens for you. I've known about it for a while. It doesn't happen for me just like because I know about it. I really have to get on my knees and practice it. I really have to go out and try to find other people to help. Like Ebony said, I got to start helping all the people around me who aren't alcoholics as well. I got to care about my family members the way that they cared about me when I was pouring so much alcohol in my body I didn't know which end was up. You know, they were there. They were there supporting and helping me out to the best of their ability, and I didn't care. How about I start to care about these people? Have some consideration, right? So, no, my will today, I try the best I can to seek this vital sixth sense. You know, we have five senses, you know, sight, smell, taste, touch, hearing. Those senses that I always rely on for facts, that's how I can deal with the world, that's how I can relate to other things that are happening around me. And now I need to seek this sixth sense, this sense that some power outside of myself is there and can help me and is probably better for me than my own decision making. And through that seeking process, it becomes more available slowly over time. And I firmly believe that that's exactly why this has to be a lifetime deal. Because probably most of us, when we get it all figured out, it's the end of our lives. You know? I can't even fathom that that's going to happen next week and that I'm going to be all good and then no more problems in my life. Because life still comes at me. It's still complicated and difficult. And the thing is when I'm on this sort of plane, trusting this higher power thing, and going with it and not trying to figure it out and just being aware that it's there and then just trying to be useful to other people, that really bad things can happen in my life and go against me and I can be completely okay with it. And then I can have those days where I've got everything figured out. I got this whole plan for the day and it's all going to go this way and it's just going to work right in order. And then one little thing that's not even that significant gets kicked out of wheel and I go insane. I start screaming at people, arguing with people, telling people where they're wrong, all because I'm just not on this plane of existence. It's not really about that my life becomes free of pain and difficulty and struggle and hardships. It becomes that I don't have to fight those things anymore. I can just be a part of life with all you wonderful people and let you be who you are and let the world be what it is and not try to run the show anymore. That sixth sense is really what I need. And I only get it through continuous work. And I really wish I didn't have to work that hard. Thanks.
It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. So the word easy to me is kind of laughable because it's almost natural for me to just let up on putting in work to be spiritually fit. You know, I start getting things back. I've got a job. I've got a bank account. I've got friends again, you know. So the first thing I want to do is remind God that I'm back in control. That's the first thing Ebony does. It's like, okay, I've got this. You know, I'm not drinking anymore. Life is good. I'm even sponsoring people. Cool. I don't, you know. But for me, I heard someone share, and it kind of changed the mindset. When we coast, you never coast upwards. The only way we coast is backwards. Mm. You know, and I don't want to coast backwards. Mm. And I've been told, my sponsor is beating into my head to remember, you know, what brought me into these rooms, how I felt when I came in these rooms, and remember that. And, you know, I'm still a newcomer. So it's easy for me to remember the bad times and the hard times, and I still live with family that's quick to throw that stuff in my face. So it's very easy to remember. But it's, the work is worth it. And honestly, that's part of the reason why I still go to so many meetings, is because when I want to coast and when I don't want to put in the work, somebody walks in the room and reminds me, you know, oh, wait a second, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to feel that way again. And I got to do something about it. Now, alcohol is a subtle foe. We hear about it being cunning, baffling, powerful. I looked up the word subtle because I was trying to study before I came here. I looked up the word subtle and, you know, it said devious. And it just reminds me of, you know, I do suffer from a peculiar mental twist. These things outside of me happen. You know, life gets lifey. And sometimes that sucks. And alcoholism, the way my disease works, is getting a red light, already being late, every stoplight when I'm getting here is going to tell me, you know what, Ebony, you're going to be late anyway. Don't go to the meeting. Because when you walk in, everybody's going to be in your face and not minding their business. Because that's how my disease works, you know. And then I don't go to the meeting. And then the next day, I'm like, you know what? I had a pretty good day. I didn't go to a meeting yesterday. I'm not going to one today. And it just adds up for me. And I have to remember that peculiar mental twist will take all of these outside things and use it to trick me into believing that, okay, this one won't hurt. You know, alcohol is my enemy. Alcohol for my body is poison. I don't need that peculiar mental twist telling me that just one is all right. Or I'm not as alcoholic as all of, maybe I'm just a hard drinker. I'm not the real alcoholic. You know, these are all thoughts that I had before. So I'm happy today that I come into these rooms and I remember, you know, my disease didn't stop when I put the drink down. I am not cured. I will not pick up where I left off. I've heard people come in these rooms and tell me when they picked up again, it was worse than when they stopped. And I don't want that. I have faith in my higher power today that that life's not for me. As long as I keep putting in the work, I won't have to deal with that. This daily reprieve, you know, I don't have much to add to that, so I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to repeat anything. Thy will, not mine, be done. I've never once said that in my life before these rooms. The end. You know, they say selfish, self-centeredness, you know, that was me. I didn't care what anybody else's will was. My will was to overpower your will and let you know who I am, what I do, and I'm the best at it. I don't need anything else in this world. And quickly but surely, I was beaten into a state of reasonableness where I'm willing to give my will to something greater than myself. We can exercise this will along. Pass. He already said all the great stuff. and I know we're running short on time, but I have this little running joke with all of my, like, some of my friends in the program. And I always talk about when they say, you know, how are you doing? I always say, I'm just shimmying in the sunlight of the spirit, you know. Because the reason I say that is when we talk about this sixth sense, I'm connected and I can feel something working in my life. And I can't even explain it in words, but it's just that inner peace where I know, regardless of what's going on outside of me, I'm okay. I'm good. My sobriety is not dependent on anybody, not my sponsor, not my friends. My sobriety is not dependent on anything. It's not my home group. It's not the building. My sobriety is strengthened by my connection with something greater than myself. And everywhere I go, I'm not alone because I'm connected to her. You know, and so when I'm having a bad day, I have to remember to shimmy, because regardless of how bad things are outside of me, I'm still connected and I'm still okay. So shimmy in the sunlight of the spirit. The end.
Nice. Thank you, guys. Can we thank Ebony and Grant? Thank you. We're now going to pass the seventh tradition basket. The seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supported with money and outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supported. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. Before I ask for announcements, I'm going to make an announcement. This is Simple Actions is having our next supperless speaker on Monday, July 10th. We have a potluck supper at 6 p.m. At 7 p.m. In this room, Mike T. from Falls Church, Virginia, is going to come share his story. So please come check us out on July 10th. Do we have any other AA-related announcements?
My name is Melissa. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Melissa.
My home group, West Kent, is having our 37th anniversary meeting on Wednesday, June 28th. We'll eat at 6:30, and our speaker is Mark R. from Hampton. We'll be at our regular meeting time at 8 p.m. We're just across Hampton Boulevard on Princess Anne Road at St. Andrew's Episcopal Church. Thanks.
Thank you.
My name is Ashton. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Ashton.
June 30th through July 2nd is Virginia State Conference of LNA in Richmond in the Hilton Hotel downtown. If you want information on that, you can see me after. You can go to viskipa2017.org for more information and hotel stuff. So it's going to be a good time. Come out.
Thanks, Ash.
Malcolm.
I'm Malcolm, alcoholic.
Hi, Malcolm.
Sunday, June 25th, my home group, AA 101.
speakers, Justin A. coming down from Maryland, starting at 11 o'clock, brunch served at 10. You're certainly welcome to bring some brunch appropriate items.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Could home group members raise their hands? All right. Is there anyone here tonight in his or her first 30 days of sobriety? If so, could you please introduce yourself by your first name so that we can welcome you? No 30 days? Oh.
Hi, everyone. Travis, I'm Alcoholic.
Hey, Travis. Welcome.
Hey Jessica, welcome. Good. We do have literature available. We have books for sale at cost over there. The pamphlets are free. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. Anyone willing to be a sponsor, please raise your hand. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship in AA, you're welcome to come up to the table after the meeting and I'll answer any of your questions. Not all of them. Smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. All the meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. And can we thank our panel one more time? And could someone please read the last couple paragraphs on page 164? Leah.
Leah. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in the morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't gotten. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destinies. May God bless you and keep you until.
Thank you.
Thank you, Liam.
We'll close out the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.